Stop thinking you're anybody's project. You know, like, ah, this one I want to marry now. So all my friends will gather together and contribute money. All right. Now, I'm trying to explain something to people here. That, see, it is nobody's assignment to make you succeed in life. I've seen people say like that. Talk to somebody once. Say, ah, that one, I have left him. He said he will help me. Do you know till now he has not done anything? I was looking at it. So you are waiting till he does something before your life begins to make progress. Oh, okay. You go wait for long. He said, what to the one who trusts in flesh? You have never heard of that? It is a matter of woe to be waiting for somebody to help you. That one, I thank God for the life of especially Bishop David Oyedepo. He taught me very strongly in that area. And one person, you know, the way God has helped me is that if I want to do something, I start doing it. I don't call anybody. Now, if you like what I am doing, you come here and come and join me in what I am doing. But some say, do you know why we are not doing what we are supposed to do? All of you are not cooperating. In any time, somebody starts talking like that. I tell my wife, I say, listen, did he discuss with anybody? Did we have a consensus? Did we vote that this is what you should be doing with your life? Even if we advised you, we never said we'll be the ones to support it. No, do you get the point I'm making? No, it's important you get this into your heart. Let it settle. In life, that's how you will succeed without being offended. Because offense is a very terrible thing. The people who go around, this man didn't help me, this man didn't help me. I like the story of this man, John Johnson, I think that was his name, the man, the founder of Ebony. The 50th anniversary of Ebony. In his speech, he said he wants to thank three people that made it possible for him to be the sole owner of Ebony, of Johnson Publications. The sole owner, nobody sharing it with him. It's his personal property. He said he will not mention their names. But what happened? He said they were the three people he approached to put money down for the business, and they all said no. 50 years afterwards, he said he wants to thank them for making it possible for him to be the sole owner of this business. That is, if they had put in the required amount he asked for, he would have owned a quarter of the business. When everybody refused, he got up. I'm talking about Cycling Monsieur. We're going to get there. And when everybody refused, he talked to his mother. Can I use your furniture as collateral to borrow money? So he used his mother's furniture as collateral to borrow, I think, $500. Yes. And started printing, was it Jet? Started with one, anyway, a black consciousness magazine to give his purpose. He wasn't trying to make money. That's interesting. I've said this in About Life. Just go around trying to make an impact in your generation, being a light to your world. He said what he was trying to do was to bring pride to the average black man. So the idea of back behind the mag, just tell stories about great things that blacks have done. When you are owing money, you start becoming innovative. Nobody agreed to sell it. It's a black mag. Nobody agreed to sell. So the office where he worked, he persuaded his friends, please, on your way home, go to every vendor you see and ask for this magazine. I'm not saying buy. Just go and ask. So as they were going, they would go, do you have this? No. So imagine everybody asking from the same man for the same. So next week, the vendor agreed to take it that this thing must be selling. Are you getting the point? At the end of the day, his man is late now. The company is worth billions of US dollars. He was awarded the other day as the greatest minority entrepreneur of all time in the United States. Are you getting my point? Him and Henry Ford being another category, and Mary Kay Ash being the greatest female entrepreneur of all time in the United States. Because three people said, no, we don't believe in what you are doing. I guess maybe some people needed to hear this because that's not the main thing we are saying. We are saying that God said, what are we saying? No, we've said many things. Anyway, now, I was explaining something that when you take a matter to God and you stop explaining, like we said, excuses for Satan. You know, what are excuses for Satan? God always needs a reason to bless and Satan always needs a reason to put you in bondage. And every time you are explaining why you are not making progress, why you are not going forward, you are cooperating with Satan so that you will never go forward. Oh, but how far? You know, they never give me visa for the last 5 years. So that's why I've not done anything. Satan said, yes. That's why you haven't done anything. So between you and Satan, you agree. Say, join hands, let us agree, Satan and I. I will not do anything if they don't give me a visa. Satan say, amen. I have seen this story. This is not a joke. I've seen it again and again. Men who packed their loads, left their wife and their children somewhere, and came to Eleke Christian to come and look for visa. And of course, you know, nobody gives to beggars. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As long as you come begging them, they won't give you. Somebody said a banker is a man who lends you money when you can prove you don't need it. When you can prove you are not in need of money, then he will lend you money. I was reading the story of Jimmy Ibrahim. Jimmy Ibrahim, when he started doing business, started Global Fleet, he said banks offered him the loans in banks that he turned down, came together to 16 point something billion naira. That is, they will come. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Please, we have this facility of 5 billion naira for you to do this and do that. The man said, sorry, I have too much loan right now. I don't need. He said, Union Bank told him, 1 billion overdraft is yours anytime. Are you getting my point? That is, whether he has money in that bank or not, once they need money, they just sign a check for 500 million naira and they don't have to discuss with anybody. And you just present the check. And they say, Global Fleet, no problem. They will just pay overdraft 1 billion. That is, they are sure he does not need money. Now, we may look at it. You know, let me tell you something about life. A lot of the principles in life appear unfair. But Jesus, especially when Jesus said like this, to him that has, will more be given. Then the guy who ain't got at all, even the little he was imagining that belonged to him, they take it and give it to the guy who's got plenty. How unjust can it be? But what Jesus was saying, in effect, that we don't give you because you need, we give you because you are able to handle. Are you getting my point? Nobody gives to you because you need. I was reading the story of that man, Jimmy Ibrahim. He explained some principles there. Do you know how he started Global Fleet? Because he was campaigning as governor of Ondo State to become governor, and he had projects he wanted to do in Ondo State so that the state would become more economically vibrant. So he lost the election. I said he went to recover from all the campaign and all the activities towards the election in the U.S. He went to the U.S. to go and relax. And then an idea came to him. If you are so sure it will work, why don't you do it? So the man got to start doing it. Buying up filling stations. What he wanted to do was to have filling stations all over on just every local government. We have a number of them. So when he didn't win the election, he started doing it for himself. Are you getting my point? I don't want to bore you with his story. It's a very interesting story. But I like to just do that to challenge people. Let me just tell you a bit of the story. The man said he wanted to build filling stations all over the country. Then he realized that it was cumbersome building because you needed two men. You first have to buy the land, get permits, get local government permits, then get an NPC to agree or whoever is the regulatory body and all that. So the man said, okay, let's do it like this. Just buy from those who already have all of that. Like one of my friends said, of course, it's those who are not making money that we quickly sell. That means you buy them cheap. So the man had a project, buy 30 a year. Yeah. So it was going to come to about 2 every month on the average. So he approached the bank, please, so these are projects. Very nice. So they gave him money, 500 million naira. Then the thing was going so far. Then the banks noticed that, we can be renting from this guy for our branch offices. He said, on some of those projects, after buying one particular filling station, instantly he makes half of the money back by leasing just a part of it to a bank to build a branch. That instantly, you buy it for 30 million naira, by the following week, you've collected 15 million naira back. Let me just add this quickly. He said one thing. He said that you get that integrity is very important. That they give you stuff because they believe that they trust you. People like him don't need collateral anymore. Once they hear, his name is collateral. You get my point? His name is collateral. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, the point I'm making here is, let's go back to what we're saying. He said, begin to contend. Yes, that's where I was. He said, begin to contend in battle. That is, what God gives is the power, the ability to get wealth. And he's saying, in effect, if you read, I don't have time to be quoting all the scriptures or going through them. If you read what Jesus was saying when he was talking about the parable of the talents, is that there are people I have given the ability to get wealth, but what do? They bury it. Are you getting what I'm saying? God said, Jeremiah chapter 8, it is the Lord thy God that has given you the power to get wealth. Even if you don't get the wealth, you will still get the power. You may refuse to use it, you will still get the power. Are you getting my point? That's what he gives. Moses, like I told you, I wanted to use that Moses one to explain a principle. He said, but what do most people do? They circle a mountain constantly and they don't agree to move northward. Let me summarize it. One of the things, you know, King, they were discussing last time, if I would do this last week, one of the problems with people is this need for security. Jesus said, this is the description of overcomers, those who don't love their lives unto death. There's a story, one movie I saw some time ago, I don't know the title now. But in the movie, this guy was a very, very powerful swordsman. So, being a broke guy, everywhere he goes, he challenges anybody to a fight. So, usually in the village, you'll bring your best warrior to come and fight him. So, people will put money down. He knew he was good. So, of course, he will fight. He's not intending to injure anybody, but he will fight the best men and dispossess them of their swords. So, one guy who was so good, after this guy, you know, of course, he did everything. The guy would just be done, just with little movement, you know, defeating this guy anyhow. Next thing, he flipped the sword out of his hand. Me, local champion. Where this guy come from? Just dishy me like this. And at the end of the day, I approach the guy and say, oh boy, teach me this thing now. The guy said, no problem. You have to be ready to work very hard. The guy said, I have no problem with that. He gave me a number of criteria. The guy said, no problem. He said, last of all, you must not care whether you lived or died. Tori Queen, because I want to learn sword, I beg. No, look, that is life. The guy said, you mustn't care whether you lived or died. Let me tell you something about these things. They are very practical. It doesn't mean that, hey, now I have a suicidal tendency. I should go in front of the road. As any truck come, kill me. I will show you that I don't care whether I lived or died. They will oblige you rapidly. And I hope you don't really care. No, that's not what he's saying. Everything in the scripture is very practical. Are you getting my point? Very, very practical. There's a story I just want to use to illustrate what I'm trying to say. How many of you have ever heard of the, of course, most people must have heard of it, and almost everyone will have seen the film, I'm sure, Titanic, made by James Cameron. You know James Cameron? I don't know the life of James Cameron. I'm not putting a stamp of approval on his whole life, but it's a principle, you know. Jesus will say, take a lesson from the matter of the figs. Now, Titanic, I think as till today, is still the best-selling movie ever made. I don't think any movie has sold more than Titanic. Now, The Passion of the Christ didn't sell as much. Just that the profit margin on it was, they made Passion with just about, with less than $40 million. Titanic was made with close to $300 million US dollars. Now, this is what I want you to understand, why I'm talking about not loving their lives unto death. I don't know, I can't remember for sure the name of the company that did Titanic, but James Cameron was the producer, director. This guy was spending money. You see that ship that you saw in the film? They built it. It was really built. It's not a computer-generated effect. They really built a ship. And they really sank it. You get my point? They sank. You know, that sinking is real. The ship really went down. Now, one of the things that costs most in anything, whether building or movies, is manpower, the people. You know, you pay that number of actors to be inside cold. The water was really cold. One of the things he said, the guy, he's the same guy who did Terminator. You remember Terminator? Now, one of the things he said he did was that the Titanic sailed, and I can't remember for sure now, maybe from the east to the west. But the way they built, because they completed building only one side, for it to be effective, they had to sail from the west to the east. You know, they were going to sail from west to east, but the real Titanic went the other way. Now, my east and west are not accurate, but you are getting the issue. So, they said the man insisted, of course, so what they would do is to revert, in the movie, they will use, it's digitally generated, they will revert the, you know, like now, in fact, today I went to take print, a picture that we took during my son's birthday, and I was telling my wife that they printed it wrongly. So she couldn't understand what I said because the children looked normal, everything looked normal. I said, look at that Chivita. It's written backwards. Then she got the point. The one I can look at the back of my car. I said, look at my car number. It's going backwards, 550, going, looking at an Arabic number. That is, they flipped the film upside down. All right? So they had to do that digitally to get the thing to move from east to west. But you know what that means? Just like my pictures were reading Chivita wrongly, what will be seen will also be wrong. So, they, of course, naturally, they will now have to write Titanic wrongly. So that when the time they revert it, it will be proper. Are you getting the point? Now, people didn't mind that. That made sense. Except that they said James Cameron insisted that even the things written on the sacks put on the deck had to be written. They said nobody will notice. They said, man said, it doesn't matter. Now, the guy incurred a lot of cost. I thought the guy has spent money. The movie guys, the movie company guys called him and said, oh boy, sorry. You want to wreck this company, eh? We are not doing it again. Ah, he said, now, this one, now listen to this story. The man said, no, this thing is viable. He tried to persuade him that it's a good movie. I mean, who are all the non-entity actors you are using anyway? Titanic made almost all those actors. They were acting before, but who knew their names until they did Titanic? He tried to persuade them. You know the only reason why they agreed? He said, okay, the guy said, okay, his own cut in the profits, he wants to let go of it. Not loving their lives unto death. That's what I'm talking about. The guy said, look, okay, my own share of the profits, take it. Please, let me finish this film. That I just want to do this film for doing sake. Okay, I will offset it with my own share of the profit. Of course, after the thing did so well, I'm sure they will forget that deal. They will quickly say to the guy, well, are you getting what I'm trying to say? When you talk about not loving their lives unto death. I've said it before, most businesses collapse because the people have no passion for the business. They only have passion for the profit. Are you getting my point? I was telling you stories earlier about the Johnson's man. That he wasn't trying to make money. He just felt bad about something that is going on. Because it's something I'm going to talk about today, about what I call the stirring of the spirit. Because I quickly searched my Bible for what they call the stirring of the spirit. That when God wants to initiate people into doing things, what he does is to stir their spirits. There are very few people that he comes and said, Moses, turn like this. Moses said, who are you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He never discussed like that with Nehemiah. You know that? What happened with Nehemiah? His spirit was stirred. He just noticed something that was wrong, and it stirred his spirit, and he was unhappy about it. I've explained before that wealth in life is a reward. That God looks at you and says, you, take money. Take influence. Take power. Be influential. Control billions. It is never by scheming. Listen, if you scheme to get it, you won't live long. I'm not cursing, I'm telling you the truth. You won't. If you appear to be living long, you are going to hell. I don't know why, but you can be sure of that. An evil man. No, listen, that's the way it is. What God gives, those who really become influential and blessed by God are just giving it as a reward. That God looks at the passion, the diligence, the faithfulness with which they do what they are supposed to do. Their spirit is stirred up by, you know, like last week we were talking, I gave an example here. That, you know, everybody sits down over dinner. They are eating and drinking and talking about, this is very useless. Those people are stupid. Then they talk. I said, pour some drink for me. Yeah, the country is very bad. Nepal is rubbish. In fact, what the president should do is, but he's not doing it. The guy's a goat. They just keep talking. At the end of the day, good night. Amen. We're all useless. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we go off to sleep. Their spirit is stirred up. Nobody does anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look, I said something about Mount Seir. The problem with people is that they love what? Security. No man who loves security makes it in life. Are you getting my point? They must be people that don't love their lives unto death. You know most people what we like? It's a government job. Say, you know, at least that one there's pension, there's gratuity. That one is better now. He said, but this one, he said, no, you know, government, no defeat. You know, when I go and talk to your parents, you understand what I'm saying? It is still a strong mentality in their minds. That is, they feel safer if your job is with government. They feel very happy with you, that you're a good person, but they don't understand that they are agreeing with you that you will be mediocre. You will never be outstanding. Why? Because of pension. Look, it's been a while that God has been teaching me. You understand my point? One thing that has never crossed my mind in my plotting is pension. I feel pension is for poor people. Now, I don't mean that you don't have any money. I mean that mentally, you are not influential. You're not a powerful person. Do you get my point? And you know Nigeria right now, Nigeria decided that we can't keep paying pension. You have to save money for your own pension. you know that's the thing now. Not like before that government would just drill oil, sell it. Then who are the old people who used to work for us? They put up their hands. And they said, you know, I was reading paper again yesterday about people who collapse waiting for their pension. I said, it is not an evil thing. That is, the people who are making them collapse are evil. But the general principle of life is that if you have to wait for pension, you will have to collapse once in a while. I'm telling you the truth. He said, just wait. You know, government, there is security. Listen, let me tell you here. There is no security anywhere but in God. People say, you know, governments go bankrupt. You don't know that? Governments can go bankrupt. They won't pay. People talking about pension. I've always thought that pension. The Bible said about the righteous man that he will be fruitful in old age. Are you getting my point? It has never crossed my mind that I'll be waiting for the end of the month for somebody to pay me pension. No. It's a bad thing. It's an evil thing that I have seen under the sun. No, I'm telling you. I will not plot my life at this age for pension. No, I'm telling you. You know, I told you that. You know, I went to the bank again last week. And my friend, the bank said, I'm still waiting for you. I said, for what? He said, the account for your children. I said, come. Savings account for my children, for their future. I said, no. I said, you don't get the point. Their future is guaranteed. I'm their father. That's all they need. He said, okay, not their future. Okay, I know. Okay, their education. I said, I can pay. Don't worry. I said, I can pay. I never can tell. Your children need to go abroad. I said, if they need to, God forbid, bad thing, my children don't need to go abroad for education. Listen, they will be educated where I live. You get my point? Not sending my child to any abroad. Listen, if I give birth to Pekin right now, you are going to Esut or you are going to UNEC. Don't even dream about going abroad. It has nothing to do with whether I have money or not. Tony Blair's wife delivered in a general hospital. That how can you say? That's what he was saying. How can you know? Forget our country. If Tony Blair's wife mistakenly delivered in a private hospital, he's done. That you are saying that the national health insurance scheme you preside over does not work. That's what you are saying. So the woman had to deliver in a general hospital. Take care like everybody. They can, if they like, get the best obstetricians there, but it must be a general hospital. That is me. Listen, Akinlu Olubenga, when you grow up, I'm not sending you to Harvard for anything. I have to show people that God is not a Harvardian. You understand what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? That God can make a man who never went to school become something. I do not have any faith in Harvard. I have only my faith is placed in God. Do you get my point? No, I'm telling you the truth. What am I doing with it? Look, I'm not saying Harvard is bad. But we need to stop circling around that Monsieur. There's this, we have been moving around Monsieur. You must go to Harvard. You must go to Cambridge. What is it? Listen, go to Harvard, come back. We that went to Esut and UNEC will give you job. We will give you job. Yes, sir. So what do you say you can do? You say, yeah, consultant in this area. Good, come and consult for us. How much do you want? We'll pay you. BSc, UNEC. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes. I mean, look, listen. You don't bamboozle me with bringing degree from... Look, listen. Bring your degree from Rwanda. If God says bring your certificate and place his hand upon it. That's just by the way. So I was saying, look, listen. Future for my children? No. How can the bank put 5,000 naira for me, black? Banking. No? I'm a blessed man. No, I'm telling you the truth. Because by the time they are growing, you understand my point? I will be paying as God lives. No exaggeration. Hundreds of people will be feeding at my table and I'll be paying their fees. So I need to save from now for my own children. Like Bishop used to say those days, the pipe carrying water must never complain of thirst. It's forbidden. Everybody's coming to fetch water from you, and you are saying you are thirsty. You decrease. You follow what I'm going to say? No, I believe that so strongly. I'm not saying saving is bad. No, but you see, I'm not afraid of the future because, in fact, I told you before that more people die yearly from mistakes of doctors than die from trying to trust God to get their healing. You know that? In the same manner, more people get frustrated after putting their investment in a particular place than get frustrated by just trusting in God and working with God. Do you understand the point I'm making? So Moses said, God told us, we have circled this man here long enough. He said, now turn northward. What I'm saying is that I'm using that as an illustration of what people call security. This is where the thing is happening from. They don't want to leave. Meanwhile, God is stirring their spirits. Do you understand my point? God is stirring their spirits. You know, I was into the tape you gave me with this guy, Philadelphia, to you, one of the main messages he preached. Talking about when he walked, he felt stirred in his spirit. Let me just say this again. Let me, before I go on with the story. Most of the time when God wants to come across to you in life, listen to this, all he will do is to stir you up in your spirit. That is all. All this, my children, my son, my daughter, thou shalt arise and break through. Most of it, believe me, is your imagination. Let me say it again. I don't care who tells me that. You know what God has been telling me recently? As we are saying it, I'm just looking at you like this. The proof, eventually, whether God told you, is when you've done it, let's see how it works. And even then, I won't quote that God told you. It's your, you know, I keep on saying it, it's your personal problem. So, if you are, listen, I'm one person that believes very strongly that there's nothing wrong with Kingsley going to tell a young woman that God told me to marry you. There's nothing wrong with it, though. Inka, are you hearing? You can go and tell a woman that God told you to marry her. But realize one thing is your personal problem. So, my message to the young woman that get told is that don't mind the guy. He's his personal problem. If he's sure that God told him, no problem. Then you decide whether you like him. If you don't like him, God didn't tell him anything. But if you like him, and you gel with him, and you finally marry him, then God indeed tells him. No, I'm telling you the truth. No, go and read it now. Jeremiah. Say God told him that, buy this land. Your cousin will come and this and this. He said, and the man came. Then I knew that God indeed spoke to me. So, guys, feel free. God can tell you. Go and tell. So your seed in the morning. Tell the one on the left that God told you. Tell the one on the right God told you. You can scatter your seed that God told you. That's your personal issue. Are you getting my point? The one when we know that God really told you. You've heard my story before. A brother told me that, did God say anything to you about your wife? I said, he did. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. That's how God talked to me about my wife. He prophesied and said, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. I said, you have well said. That's why I'm here. Are you getting my point? Listen, what God does most of the time is to stir up your spirit. Are you getting my point? Now, let me even use that wife thing as an example. There was not there I dreamt, and the Lord said, ah, see that girl coming down from Oroboland. Yes. As she's approaching, stretch forth your hand. There was nothing like that. I just saw a woman one day say, hello, sir, can I talk to you? I said, no problem. And when she finished talking to me and she was about to leave, I said, just a minute. My spirit was stirred up. I said, fine girl. The only thing I heard from God was fine girl. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can't remember God saying anything more than that. In my spirit, I heard the words, fine babe. So I said, excuse me, what did you say your name was? He said, Ufoma. I said, yeah, what does Ufoma mean? He said, it means the peace of God. All right. We'll see you around. Anyway, that's how we got to where we are today. The stirring of the spirit. Are you getting my point? That is, look, every day in life, you know, there are people, and you know the interesting thing, I can't describe this to you, really. I can't say more than that. That God will stir up your spirit. Okay, I was telling a story earlier. That a man said one day he just felt like God was leading him to leave the company where he was and start his own company. And he obeyed the prompting. And as is usual with such people, you have a mad woman also to agree with you that the two of you, you know, you use your madness to obey something. The room where he and she were sleeping, in the morning they will remove the mattress, put it outside, and arrange table. That's office. At night they move table and put the mattress back on the floor. Are you getting my point? By the time he was telling the story, I don't, I've forgotten how many years in between. A short time though, he said it had reached the point that if you don't come up with half a million naira, he cannot fit you on his agenda as a consultant to big businesses, banks, and all that, speaking, you know, training their people for them, consulting for them. Well, at that time, 15K was good money. They paid him 15K. He readily collected it, and thanks the Lord. Are you following the point? But why I remember that story was that he said that one day he just felt like God was saying, this is the time. Listen, because of our time is really gone now. I will discuss that next time. What God really does is just to stir your spirit. The main thing I wanted to say today, we've not even developed on this matter of fear. All right? Okay, maybe next time we'll continue on it. Because the problem with people is that at such times, what starts speaking to them is the story, is that story again and again. That's why it's in the scriptures. If it is you, Lord, bid me come. And the Lord says, come. And like T.D. Jakes said, he never says more than come. He doesn't tell you. I'm using T.D. Jakes' words now. He won't tell you that. Ignore the fish swimming around near your toes. They will not bite you. I am the Lord thy God. He will not tell you that the waves might move, but you don't worry about the waves. I am the Lord thy God. He will not tell you that your heart might fear. But listen, all those things are documented in the scriptures. Better go and read it. All he will tell you is what? Come. Afterwards, he will ignore you entirely. The winds will blow like this. The Lord go, they look. Fish go, you know, fish will snap at your toes. He won't do anything. The only time he will stretch his hand is when you're about to sink and die. And then only because you shout. If you don't shout, he will talk to the other disciples. In memory of our beloved Peter, who was committed to this ministry, who gave his life. You had better shout, otherwise nobody's delivering you. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That all he says is what come does not mean there will not be adversity. And let me tell you what Oswald Chambers calls Satan again. What is Satan? Your friends will come and say, oh boy, you decrease. What are you saying? Look at your children now. This girl that I took from my father's house last year. So you want her to come and suffer now? Then your friends will begin to discuss with you. That is when you have to learn the story of David. You go and encourage yourself in the Lord thy God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All the Lord will say is, come. He stirs your spirit. You know, Kingsley, we were discussing the other day in my house. I said, I noticed something about God. I noticed. It's as if, please try to understand what I want to say. It's as if he just ignores you to live your life the way you like. He gives you one word and goes away. You know, David was my bad example there. Did you notice that David raised no normal child, apart, a male child, apart from Solomon? You know, God never even talked to him about it. As Absalom, fine boy. He was just doing fine boy all over Israel. He just fine. His younger brother, who tried to take kingdom before Solomon was now made king. The Bible said that his father had never crossed him on anything. He had never done anything that his father would say, what you did was wrong. Ha! A man after God's heart. God said, yes, I know. But his life, I didn't use to discuss anything with him. If you don't train your child, I won't come and say, it's like you, that has not corrected Junior this morning. You see? It's your problem. When Junior grows old and when he gives you mental problem with his bad behavior, is your, no, I see, look, I gleaned that thing from scriptures. When Solomon was marrying women, did God talk? God gave him wisdom and then he shut up. Solomon will look at Egyptian chick. How now? I'm a king. Egyptian girl say, no problem, sir. He married that one, put and join. The Lord didn't come and say, Solomon, what thou doest is not good. At the end, all kinds of women that he gathered ran him into trouble. The Lord did appear to him in a dream, saying, "Seeing that thou art my beloved servant, the son of my beloved David, let me warn you." No. A man married all the women. The women killed him. You know that? And God never said anything. That is after God stirs your spirit. Is your problem. And at the end of the day, if you don't do anything, you are judged for bearing a talent. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you something about Satan. You know what he tries to do? This is the assignment of Satan in life. Try to persuade you that you can't do it. He doesn't do more than that. Eat fruit now. They said we shouldn't eat. He said, God knows that if you eat. Let me tell you this. I know what I'm saying. I've eaten it before. Then he just throws everything that God has said behind. Then once you are able to doubt God, you eat anything. Once you can doubt God, and that's what Satan does. So you know this country is bad. Yes, sir. It's bad. He starts telling you stories. Of course, I told you Satan is not a spirit. Satan is what? A person. According to Oswald Chambers, what I mean, Satan is your friend, your father. I'm sorry, your mother. Sometimes your pastor. Satan comes in all kinds of ways. People who really love you, their middle name sometimes is Satan. That is why Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." That is Peter, Satan, Kephas, Simon. Simon, Satan, Peter. What I mean is that people will be giving you sound counsel. You know, your cousin that went abroad, he has built a house for his father now. Can't you see? Can't you see? Then they start explaining. If you quote the scripture, you have come again. This is your Christianity. Once they make that statement, know you're on the right track. Narrow is the road that leads to life. And there are very few that find it. That is, it's often obscure. Most people cannot locate it. Listen, once they persuade you, with all the faith in you, you will buy a visa. I'm telling you. I have seen men of faith. Their name was Jonathan Odu before the last time you saw them. Professing faith and preaching under anointing. Next time you see him, you see Elias. You know all kinds of names from Niger of all countries. And they tell you that wisdom is profitable to direct. You know, the first thing, Satan took away their faith. And once the faith is gone, the guy will do anything. I've seen men who taught scripture on campus marry Hungarian women. That is, I said, this guy, I knew him now. When I was in school, I remembered him. Next I knew. So the guy, where is he? He's in so-and-so country. Where? He do contract marriage, marry one white woman. I'm not saying white women are bad, though. But you know what I'm going to say? That is, when I knew this guy in school, it was faith that they were preaching and people like me were listening. Once Satan takes away your faith, you are capable of anything. 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 All Satan does is first take away the faith. Fear. The man wants to circle Mount Seir. He said, this is where security. Like I told you, we don't have time. Next time we'll go into that. That's what I want to discuss today, but I hope you've learned a thing or two. Are you getting my point? Satan, all he wants to do is take away your faith. And once he takes away faith, the sons of Ephraim, though they were armed, in the day of battle, they will turn back and break the covenant of their God. Are you getting my point? They were armed. That is, God had given them the power to get well. God said, begin to contend in battle. So he said, you have circled the security zone long enough. Begin to move northward. They said, you know, at least you are sure of your pension. Are you getting my point? Like they say, the good is the enemy of the best. So that's security. I like one thing my pastor said in that tip I'm recommending to all of you. He said, this is the goodness of God. I told you about Jacob and God. If God loves Jacob, God will get Jacob. You understand my point? Sometimes people get sacked. That is, after their security is established, then one day they will accidentally, maybe they are coming to work. I'm supposed to sign in. And that day he came at 8:30. And he didn't know, because normally he comes at 7:30 every day. So unconsciously, he writes 7:30. He wasn't trying to lie. And then somebody says, sir, this man, and then they sack him. People say that these people are wicked. I told you, wickedness is not your problem. God said, the people cry out because of the arm of oppressors. Yet I don't listen to such cries. They are empty cries. They are cries of wicked men. He said, because they did not say, where is God my maker? The story of New Elike Akenam illustrates that point very well. He said, in Observer, he was an editor in Observer. He had a call to ministry and he kind of had an agreement in his heart. He was going to work in Observer for 2 years and then go into ministry. At the end of 2 years, the job was good. So he continued circling Mount Seir. And then Miriam Babangida came to Benin. 6 months after 2 years. And he was the editor. And they took a photograph of Miriam. He was not a photographer. He was not a reporter. He was just the editor-in-chief or whatever. And they published that picture of Miriam Babangida. And the governing board said the photo is not fine. And they fired him. Did you hear that? Okay. How stupid on earth can an excuse to fire a man get? They said the picture was uncomplimentary to the first lady. Therefore, we will not sack the photographer. We will not sack the reporter. We shall sack the editor. It was big news in the country that time. Because even Miriam Babangida issued a statement. Like Pilate, I have no hands in the sacking of this man. You know, that's what Pilate said about Jesus Christ. She washed her hands publicly and said, please, oh, I'm not aware of the photograph. I did not order him sacked. I'm serious. She made that statement. NUJ in Benin, they went to court. This is injustice. And of course, the judge too agreed it is injustice and ruled that he should be reinstated. And he was never reinstated. I heard this story from his mouth when he came to preach in my alumni convention. He said he, in his heart, he knew what was going on. He just carried his Bible, went to William's Chapel and said, Bishop, any job for the boys? Bishop made him the director of the Bible school. There was a point in time, I think the head of Dominion Publishing House, like that, like he worked there for some time, worked, was teaching in Bible school there. They now came to Asaba and founded the Faith Liberation Ministry. Doing very well. That is, God said, Jacob, you will see, I'll get you. And he just toppled the cart. But he was good. Unlike Uzzah, you know, remember the death of Uzzah? The Uzzahs that tried to stop the correction of God, they die in the process. We'll continue on this matter next time. Our time has really gone. Let us pray.